بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Someone had a goat that was giving milk and honey. So how it happened, it happened. That's not so important. But what is even more important is the moral and the lesson of the Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi pulls out from it. He says that this animal is fed by the cleanliness of the heart. It gets its nourishment by the cleanliness and the purity of the heart. The purer the heart, and the greater the flow, honey will come out and the milk will come out. And as the purity of the heart is affected, then the production also will be affected. See, a mu'min needs to know and understand that when Allah commences with the Quran Sharif, He commences with the verse, "Al-ladina yu'minuna bil-ghayb." They believe in the unseen. When we say unseen, then what do we mean when we say unseen? Because what you may have seen, I haven't seen. What's in your pocket is unseen to me. Is that the meaning of unseen? That's not the meaning of unseen. Unseen refers to what is not perceivable by the sight and what is beyond your understanding. One is, it is perceivable to your sight, and the other is that it's something that is obvious, appealing to your intelligence. Like I say, 2 plus 2, right? You see 4, it's obvious. So when we talk of unseen, this is what we refer to, that is not perceivable by your senses and it's beyond your understanding, beyond. So يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, this is the first line of the Quran. But you want to carry on, first believe in the unseen. That is Allah Ta'ala, He makes it happen, it's His will, it is His power, His might. Understand that. The more you will understand this, the more you will get the story right, the whole equation right. And as you get that right, then that requires that your heart should be right. And as the heart is right, proportionately is the production right. And the heart is not right, then there may be a lot of things that you are doing, but it doesn't have a value. The reason being that the heart is not right. Now, to understand that in our language, at our level, say someone is at your business, right, or in your home, is working for you, whatever job you've got for him is doing that. He's doing it well. Outwardly, there seems to be a level of conformity. He's subjected himself, he's conforming. But he tells you one day, somehow secretly you got to know from him directly. Maybe you put a trap for him or something, and you got to know that his intention is to understand where your vault is, right? Or where your daughter is, and how to kidnap her. What happened to you? Overnight, that moment that you know about it, you will storm him out. Won't you do that? Why? That intention of his is corrupt. Though outwardly he's showing a lot of things, but within his mind, his intention is corrupt. So the difference between us and Allah Ta'ala is, Allah Ta'ala knows exactly what's inside the heart. So even if it is that you're doing the faraz, you're doing the sunnah, but you're not doing too much, but provided you're doing the faraz and the sunnah, right? The mind is very good, heart is sound, there's no malice, there's no ostentation, there's no show, there's no pride. Right. And you're going on, you're going very well. See the goodness of the heart, the importance of the goodness of the heart. Bukhari Sharif. These two hadiths are in Bukhari Sharif. It's a loose woman, right? And in spite of the stupid thing that she's involved in, but with the goodness of the heart, the purity of the heart, she sees a thirsty dog and she gives it some water. Somehow she drew it out from the well and she gives it to this thirsty dog. But with all the goodness of the heart, no show, nothing, absolutely, with the goodness of the heart, here she's earned her jannah. Simultaneously, you get this hadith, that with which persons the jahannam will be started off, you know, jahannam is going to be ignited, started off. One is that alim, or that qari sahab, or that mufti sahab, but his intentions are corrupt. I'm doing things, giving a bayan, whatever else, right? But I'm doing it with insincere intentions. Intention is not right. So outwardly it may seem that I'm doing a lot of dini work, a lot of dini work. Heart is pervert. And the hadith is saying that this is the person that Jahannam will be started off. Outwardly it seems an alim, mufti sahab, is a qari sahab, but the Jahannam is being ignited with that person. The second person that the hadith speaks about is the mujahid, night in and night out, and his whole focus is about spreading deen, elevating deen. And Jahannam is started off with him. And then the third person is that wealthy person, all the time for the deen he wants to spend, he wants to give. And Jahannam is being started off, it's ignited with that person. So on the one end is this loose woman, right? And she's earning her jannah because of this one act of kindness with the purity of the heart, and she's got this. On the other end, outwardly it seems that deen depends, as though deen depends for its prosperity and for its furtherance on these three people. It requires an alim or a mufti sahab, it requires a mujahid, it requires a wealthy person. It requires all. But then the whole jahannam is being started off with these three people. See that? So the goodness of the heart, the purity of the heart, at no time must that be compromised. That ego, that pride, that ostentation, that show, that malice, jealousy. Now this has become like the order of the day. I see your prosperity, I see you prospering, and I burn at that. I'm hurt at that. Because I see you prospering, and I can't see that. But the moment I see you collapsing, then I'm rejoicing. At your collapse, I rejoice. And at your prosperity, I'm hurtful. In tusibka hasanatun tasu'um. See, Allah speaks about this kuffar. What? In tusibka hasanatun tasu'um. When they see your prosperity, it hurts them. Right? Wa in tusibka sayyatun yafarhu biha. And if any calamity comes, right, then they are rejoicing. So this is a trait of a kuffar, not our trait. If my brother is prospering, is moving on in life, then I need to be happy for what he is. Mashallah, my brother is moving. May Allah Ta'ala protect him, give him more, make him more popular than what he is. So I need to be thinking like that. Make it this business, whatever, a means for his jannat, a means for his akhirat. Allah Ta'ala can make it happen. But I'm feeling happy for the person. I don't feel hurt because of his prosperity. Now all this is related to the cleanliness, the purity of the heart.
وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُمْ.
Allah Ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salam was tried by Allah Ta'ala. In a few matters he was tried and he fulfilled them. Now, the trial and the examination of Allah Ta'ala is different to the trial that we go through, examination that we go through. It's a different examination. You're going through matric, or you're going through a board exam to learn some papers, what the thing, the theories, whatever they're teaching you, to learn the thing and learn how to work it out. So you learned how to work it out, etc. Then they give you a certificate and you can go and practice. You can become a doctor, become an accountant, become whatever. So you went through the whole board exam, the whole process, you studied and you got through. But now, when Allah Ta'ala tries, the trial of Allah Ta'ala is different to the trial of man. Yeah, you just need to learn some things and you get through. So this trial is more for to sustain yourself, for stomach. Right? To sustain yourself that your level of living may be good and comfortable, enjoyable. So more or less, this is the essence of this trial, right? This examination. Right? This is the essence. Right? Now the trial by Allah Ta'ala, it's a different trial altogether. So when He tries you, what He tries you for? When He sees you, what He sees you for? He sees you for something totally different. He wants to see what is the level of commitment you committed, and what level of commitment are you giving me? He wants to see the level of endurance, right? And what is your level of endurance that you have given yourself to me now? But once you have given yourself to me, problems are going to come up. Today you was reading the kitab that someone came to Aisha radiallahu anha for some assistance. So Aisha says, had I had 10,000 dinars, then I would have given it to him. Dinar is a gold coin. And what she says, had I had 10,000 dinars, but unfortunately I don't have anything to give you. Right. And she had hardly finished the sentence, and someone brought a gift of 10,000. And Aisha says, see the trial. I just mentioned this, and before I can complete the sentence there, that 10,000 came. Now, she's a woman, and a woman is supposed to be living within the house. So she calls for that person. And that entire 10,000, true to her words, she gives it out. See, that's called truth. That's loyalty. That's endurance. That is that allegiance you owe to her, commitment. So this trial is different. The trial that you do in school or in a secular place, it's a different trial altogether. This is a different trial altogether. So Allah Pak is looking at your perseverance, your loyalty to Allah Ta'ala. At any given moment, how are you? Perseverance, your loyalty, your endurance. Will you endure? A small trial, small problem comes your way. How do you take it? So Ibrahim alayhi salam is tried now. The trial that he's put through, you know, your whole body shakes sometimes when you think about the trial. So the first trial is within the home. Father saying, "Uhjurni maliya, illam tantahi la arjumannaka wa uhjurni maliya." You don't stop this, I'll kill you. Stone you to death, and just get out of here. Get out of my sight. Now he lost the whole support, the family support he lost. Imagine. And you've got any individual has a family support. Father, brothers, there's a family support. Now the own family disowned him, threw him out. Allah is seeing, he is the maker, he is the creator, he is the provider, he is the doer. But are you seeing now, what is going to be the level of endurance of this man? When the whole support structure has collapsed and failed, what is going to be his take? How is he going to respond to this? So, Ibrahim alayhi salam's answer is, Salamun alayka sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi, innahu kana bi hafiya. All the time that he's addressing his father, there's not a single word of disrespect. Not before this, and not after this. Ya abati, lima ta'budu, my dear father, my respected dad. I will speak to your father, my respected father. My honorable dad. Man is mushrik. Man is going totally towards polytheism. Absolutely away. Idolatry. But he doesn't compromise his respect for his father. But by the same token, he doesn't align himself to the father's creed. Creed is different, so I'm away from you. In this matter, then I will listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a father, I will show you all the respect. But when it comes to Allah ta'ala, then primarily we are Allah Ta'ala's. You are a means for me to come here. You are the means for my existence. So I do respect that. But I also understand that primarily my allegiance, my obedience, my commitment, my loyalty is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I can't compromise in this respect. We hear the word compromise very often. But do you know what's the meaning of compromise? So there are two words that are used. One is called Mudahanat and the other is called Mudarat. Mudarat is translated as consideration. But considerations in what? In which matters? So this is called Mudarat. Mudarat is permissible, but consideration in what? Consideration in worldly matters, for saving yourself from type of a worldly loss or gaining some type of a worldly gain, and you make some consideration. Not a problem. You make some, not just consideration, a material consideration for some type of a material gain. What? A material consideration for some type of a material gain, or save yourself from a material loss. So you made some consideration. You got a good client, now you respected him, gave him a tea, some biscuits, whatever. So he's very happy now, he's buying from you. You made some ikram, right? So you made some consideration for that kafir, or whoever it was, for a material gain. It's alright, not a problem. Sometimes, to protect your deen, if you have to make a material consideration, is permissible. Although outwardly it may seem like a bribery, but for the protection of your deen, you have made some type of a material consideration, then to its right. It's not a wrong. Hazrat Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu, he is migrating from Makkah. The Muslims are being persecuted, harassed. That's for the deen. So he's discreet, he's left Makkah Mukarrama, intending Madinah Munawwara. Right. The moment the kuffar heard about it, they pursued him, they gave him the chase. So he saw them and he said, "See, you know what a good marksman I am. If I intend any of you, I won't miss. And you won't get me in it very easily, because I'll fight right till the end, and thereafter you can do whatever you want. But if you want something better, you want a better bargain, see, my wealth is at a certain place in Makkah Mukarrama, have that wealth, but give me a free and a safe passage to Medina. Deal is done." But outwardly, if you analyze the story, what he did, he made a worldly consideration for the security of his deen. Didn't he do that? We may call it a bribery. Yeah, he reaches Medina Munawwara, and Hazrat Rasulullah compliments him, "Rabihal Bay Aba Yahya." Everything is sanctioned, a material consideration for the security of your deen. That the man may not harass you, not trouble you in your deeni matters. Coming for namaz now, nobody has harassed you, whatever. You saw the person, right, whatever else. You've done things undercover, right? But for what? For a personal thing. For a deeni reason, you saw the person, right, whatever. He's happy, you're happy, carrying on. Right? You know you're not going to get it right. The other way is now you have to go through a long process, pay 10 billion rands, go to one court, then constitutional court, another court. You know still you are going to win or not win. Right? Yeah, a cheap process by just go and see the people right a little bit. Everybody's hungry. See them right a little bit. Carry on. Move on. Secure your deen. Protect your deen for a few coppers now. Why can't you protect your deen? In a simple way, simple procedure. Why can't you protect your deen? No, I say bribery is haram. Right? Understand deen first. Umarji sahab, rahmatullah alayh, gave one story. You know, he says, one woman came to complain about a child, a son. You know, this child here, he made that girl pregnant. She's 7-8 months and about to deliver. You see what my son did now. So, he tried to explain to the youngster, but why didn't you use some preventive measures? He said, "No, but the ulama said that is makruh." But you see now the reasoning. The reasoning is all upside down. You can do the haram, it's alright. But now this thing here is not on. So some understanding is required. A little bit of understanding. Akal ki zarurat. Akal ki zarurat. You're not doing it for a personal gain, for your deeni security, your deeni well-being, giving away something, right? Just to see that your deen is secure. So, Ibrahim al-Islam doesn't lose that consideration of respect for his father. But with the same token, he will not compromise the loyalty that he owes to Allah Ta'ala, the allegiance to Allah Ta'ala. He will not. I would respect you till the end, I would respect you, I'll be at your service. But now this is a matter pertaining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about it. I will not support that, I will not speak for that, I will not promote that in any way. I will not promote, I will not support, I will not participate in that. It's wrong, it's wrong. I will not participate. Don't count me. Don't count me for this thing. So he made it straight. And then the reward he got for that was a death threat, right? Oh, wahjurni maliya, and you just get out of my sight. I don't want to see you. So with all that premise from Allah is watching what the man is doing. Says salamun alayka, astaghfiru, salams upon you. I will still make dua for you. Innahu kana bi hafiya, because Allah Ta'ala is very compassionate towards me. He's been very loving and caring. So right before and after, when he's ostracized, he's thrown out, then to the compromise, then to the consideration and the respect of the father is not lost. Not before and not after. He doesn't have everything in perspective, balance. Now, our problem is, when we go on one end, we go so much, when we forget everything else. So, no, Islam, fight for the truth. And then we lose respect for the man. So we don't lose respect for the person, but we don't participate and join in the wrong as well. And as I say again, Allah is watching what's going on. What's at the depth of the heart, the recess of the heart, you see. That my command is that you respect your father, irrespective. Right? But you will not listen to him in any matter that amounts to my disobedience. Any matter that amounts to my disobedience, you will not listen. So, to get this puzzle together is not an easy thing. To get the equation right is sometimes difficult. It's a problem. But how are you going to get it right? So he says, Salamun alayk, astaghfiru laka rabbi. I'll ask Allah Ta'ala for your forgiveness. I'll ask Allah Ta'ala for your hidayat and your guidance. He leaves him on that note. So see this trial that comes in. Allegiance, loyalty, commitment. So Allah is watching right from the beginning, right till the end. What's the level like? It's not just a matric or a board exam you got through. There's a board exam or a matric exam, you're writing something, but your heart may be totally not aligned to that. You're writing something stupid, you're writing nonsense, you're writing Darwin's theory, right? Allah Pak, save our iman, protect our iman. But you don't believe in that scrap. For a moment you don't believe, you understand it's kufr, disbelief. But you're getting the numbers for it, you're getting the marks for it. Though you don't subscribe to it. This in itself is wrong, but you don't subscribe to it and you're still getting the mark for it. By Allah Ta'ala, for getting that mark, your action needs to be right and your heart needs to be right. It's not just the act and it's not just the heart. See how Allah says it. Bala man aslam wajhahu lillah. Understand, both are important. The heart needs to be right and the action needs to be right. So the principle, the narrative that Allah is showing us, man aslama wajhahu lillah. So in two words, you know, the whole essence of deen has been explained from the beginning of time till the end of time. But just in two words. Now if this is not a miracle, then what can it be? Where there can be a miracle? In two words, Allah Ta'ala summed the whole essence of deen from the beginning of time right to the end of time. So the first thing he says, man aslam wajhahu lillah. You submit yourself to me entirely. Without any reservation, without any questioning. But what is the command of Allah Ta'ala? At which time, at which point you submit yourself? Allah Ta'ala says, believe in this. These are the articles of faith. So you say, Allah Ta'ala, I believe in it wholeheartedly. I submit myself to it. I give myself to it. So whether you're in Adam alayhi salam's time, Nuh alayhi salam's time, Ibrahim alayhi salam's time, Musa alayhi salam's time, or Isa alayhi salam, you have given yourself to Allah Ta'ala. You submitted yourself. So there's no reservation. There's no selective approach. Selective approach was done by the people of the past and that brought them to their ruin. Someone say, no, we believe in Musa alayhi salam, but we reject Isa alayhi salam and Rasulullah alayhi salam like the Yahud did, right? Selective approach. And others did this, they believed in Isa alayhi salam and they rejected Rasulullah alayhi salam, again selective approach. So Allah Pak wants an approach that is absolute, complete. Don't you have a selective approach. see these laws that come in, right? Allah Pak save us from all these difficult things. But when we have a selective approach towards religion, then this type of laws come in. That we want to do something, and some things we want to just overlook it. So, the way we behave, the laws that will govern us will be similar. Now we're wondering, why are they having this type of an approach towards us? But we don't realize that our behavior with Allah Ta'ala is the same. That we don't have a selective approach. Some places, alright, it's permissible, so-and-so said it's permissible, so we do it. And some places not, we want to do it complete. So, Allah Pak says, أَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. That you have the selective approach, some things you are applying and some things you are not applying. So, in two words, Allah Pak has summed the entire deen. مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ. And then, وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. See now, see, in just two words, Allah Pak has summed up the entire deen, whole deen. وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. He is not just contented himself, restricted himself to belief. But then, with that, وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ, he does it well. There's a belief and there's an action. There's an action. It's not just a belief, it's not just a doctrine, but there's an action that's following it up. وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. And he's not just doing work, but he's doing it well. And the work can be only well with two fundamental conditions. One is the intention is right, and one is that work is in conformity with the sunnah. I ask you, if any work is done against the sunnah, any value? Intention is not right. So, in two words, Allah has summed the entire deen, from Adam alayhi salam right to the end of time. So, look at these two principles and see how comprehensive. Man aslama wa jahu lillah. Your whole self you've given to Allah, submitted yourself. No reservation, no exception, no question you've given yourself. Allah, this is your command, this is an article of faith, I give myself wholeheartedly. I'm not selective in my approach. And I'll try my best to do it best as well. I will not just have that. I will not just have those articles of faith, but I will try my best to do it the best as well. So Allah says, فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Then this person's reward is already confirmed. See that? Is this difficult also to understand? The heart is right, the action is right. So Allah says, your reward is confirmed. You have that ummeed with me now. Now you have the trust in me that you got a reward. Just to have fear and no hope in Allah Ta'ala, that's wrong. It's not Islam. You have the fear, but you have the hope also that Allah Ta'ala is very appreciative. He's most loving. وَغَفُورُ الْوَدُودِ. He is forgiving and he's most loving, he's most appreciative. So he'll appreciate what you're doing, especially after you're a bit old, after 55, 60 and all that. And the hope of Allah, hope in Allah Ta'ala must escalate all the time. You have a degree of fear that you don't go wrong. You don't go at that old age also. Your eyes can mislead you. Your tongue can mislead you. So it's not that you go without fear. Or the fear drops a little bit. But the hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala must increase all the time. So Allah Ta'ala says, one, فَلَهُ أَجْرُ عِنْدَ رَبِّي وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There's no fear for them. Sometimes, because we are human, right? Then naturally we fear. You take the child to a dentist, he's crying, making a noise. Don't cry, everything will be right. Open your mouth, big mouth. So when I see these children eating burgers, I mean, hey, I don't know where you're sitting, here or a dentist shop. But that burger is like this. I have to open their mouth like that. I don't know how they eat it, so I have to break that thing. Small piece I've put in my mouth. I find it difficult. Big mouth, big fat burger, eat like that. So, wala khawfun alim. Really, there's no fear. The child may be afraid because he doesn't know. So, because of a human restriction or limitation, you may fear. But really, there's no fear. It is just because you are a human being. So, you feel, what's going to happen? Kya hoga? Hota hai? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? But really, there's no fear. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So, at the first level, the first trial is within the home. Right? Then the second trial is within the community. People now. People against him. إذ قال لأبيه وقومه إنني براء مما تعبدون. He makes it clear amongst his people as well. Friends, folks, country people, right? All of them. إنني براء مما تعملون. He doesn't allow his faith to be a secret. He announces it. My loyalty is primarily with Allah Ta'ala. You can do what you want, you can feel how you want, but primarily my allegiance, my loyalty is with my Allah Ta'ala. So he makes it known. إِذْ قَالْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيِّ وَقَوْمِي إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. In India, it's customary, right? That if it's a Muslim guest that you've got, then you'll offer paan. Right? And if it's a Hindu guest, then you may give some sweetmeat or something, right? So, now one Muslim has come into the house, and a Hindu has come into the house. Apparently, the Hindu's got a beard, and the Muslim got no beard. So that host is offering that sweetmeat to the Muslim, and the paan to the non-Muslim. The Muslim felt very, very, very disgusted. You take me as a Hindu, that you're offering the paan to him, offering the sweetmeat to me. So, but how must I make out who's a Muslim and who's not a Muslim here? How must I make out? Both pulled in at the same time. You are outwardly looking as a Hindu. He is outwardly looking as a Muslim. So I treated him for what he looks like, and I'm treating you for what you look like. So the least that you can say, let me at least resemble a Muslim. So even if the Maut comes, you can say, Allah Ta'ala, main tere Nabi ki shabahat leke aaya. I'm not good. But, oh Allah Ta'ala, I try to resemble your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I got a kurta, I got a topi, I got a beard. I tried. I couldn't do much. And who knows, Allah Ta'ala may appreciate this also. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayhi sees his hope in Allah Ta'ala. It must just escalate all the time. But then proportionately do something as well. Not just hope, just not empty hope. You hope and you work with it. How much you can do. So one man, all his life, just joking and entertaining. Also you get some people like entertaining. Nasir, look at me now. So his life was all entertaining. Entertaining people, make laugh and all that. So now, he's come to his death, at the time of his death. So he called one or two of his good friends, you know. Good buddies, he called them. He says, now see, you're going to make my ghusl, and as you put me into the grave, quietly, when nobody's looking, just put some flour on my beard. Hey, boy, you know, you died, your whole life was entertaining, making people laugh. Now you're dying and you... What are you doing? What are you up to? Already explained the story. Now you're dying, and you're dying also, you want it to go in humor. What's wrong? He said, now, you're my friend or not? So you just do what I'm telling you. Alright, they put him down. They put the flower, made his beard look white. You know. Now Allah Pak is asking the grave, but what is this drama all about? So he says to Allah, you see, all my life was in guna. Right? But I heard your Nabi Sam saying this much, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَسْتَحْيِ مِنْ ذِشَّيْبَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Allah Ta'ala feels ashamed for a woman whose beard is white. Hair is white, beard is white, Allah feels ashamed. So I couldn't present anything. I could do only this much, have a white beard and show it to you. But Jawjaw, I forgive you. Now you see the love of Allah Ta'ala for his servants. Man had hope in Allah Ta'ala. He had respect for the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He didn't disregard that. But main tere Nabi ki shabahat ko lekar ke aaya hoon. I've come at least with some resemblance of your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I said, at least we can do this much. At least show that you are a Muslim. Don't feel ashamed about your Islam. You see, one Muslim in 10 non-Muslims say, Assalamu Alaikum. As a young boy, we used to be living in Reunion, right? The Baba was not a committed Muslim. But one thing I really admired him, if his children had to come into the Baba shop, then they must loudly say, Assalamu Alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He will not take, he will, no exception. Any child of mine is coming, they must say it loudly. I should really admire him. Really admire him. And then, at the end of his life, I see he had a full beard, namazi, I think he died in a jummah also. But you see, when you respect the command of Allah, don't take any small deed to be insignificant. How small it may be. Enter your house, assalamu alaikum, loudly. Leaving your house and say assalamu alaikum loudly. And Allah Pak sees all these things. You're leaving the house, assalamu alaikum. You're coming into the house, assalamu alaikum. Tahiyyatan min indillah. This is Allah's blessings coming to your house. Now you see when you're making assalamu alaikum, you've got your children to say that. Now there'll be love, muhabbat, understanding within the family. You know, my father's grave is right at the beginning of Dayal Road. So I used to think now, you know, what is the... Allah has got hikmat in everything. What he does, there's a hikmat in it. So why is his grave right at the beginning? I used to always think, Allah put in my heart, my father's habit was, you know, my sister's in Phoenix, at that time, the transmitter, if you got it switched on, Spingo Beach and Hilal used to reach Phoenix. Spingo Beach and Hilal will reach Phoenix. So they would jokingly tell my father, you know what, when you make salam, we hear it in Phoenix. Because the mics are switched on, he's making salam, his salam should be loud in the masjid or at home. Anybody will know that the man has pulled in or is going out. So the connection here was that he made a loud salam. So when you enter a Kabristan, you say assalamu alaikum diyara qawmi mu'min, and they straight to receive your salam. So every small thing Allah Ta'ala accepts, he appreciates, he loves you. So why can't we have the understanding that he loves us, he likes us, every small thing also, don't treat it as insignificant. You don't know what can be the catalyst for your progress. See, this adab and mustahabbat is so important. So important, small things, things that are of adab, of sunnah. Now, you just say, a masjid or... You don't make it a venue of your worship. It's not a venue, right? You say all these fancy words, but what the implications are, right? The implications are like this now. You know, now this thing is lockdown is coming down, right? It's going out, right? But there's so many phone calls and people complaining. Mona, you know what's going on? We got used to performing namaz at home, right? Now, my father, my brother, my uncle, they're comfortable reading Jummah namaz at home. What? They're comfortable with reading a Jummah namaz at home. They don't want to talk about coming to a masjid. But you see what is done to them. So these small things that may seem to be the sunnah, don't consider it as a small thing. Right? That may be the catalyst for the protection of your iman. I'm getting the complaints. Just from yesterday to now, I don't know how many complaints came. The thing is over now. But they say, no, we can make Jamaat at home. It's just a sunnah, so what? So why are you emphasizing so much about it? So why are they going to Jummah at home? But now you see what happens? The ulama explain, you leave out a mustahab, then you get deprived of a sunnah. When you leave out the sunnah, then you get deprived of a wajib. When you leave out that wajib, then you get deprived from a faraz. When that goes, then your iman is on the edge. You don't know when you will destine. So look after the small things, so they make salam, looking like a Muslim, right? Making whatever signs of Islam, you know, frequenting a masjid, it's not a small thing. You think it's a small thing. So the hadith says, when you see a person frequenting a masjid, bear testimony that he's a Muslim. What? When you see the person frequenting a masjid, bear testimony that he's a Muslim. So what is the opposite of it? If he doesn't frequent the masjid, then can we bear testimony? You know, that's a question that will ring in your mind. When you see the man frequenting the masjid, then bear testimony that he's a mu'min. So you see now the opposite of it, what it will amount to. So these small things, don't ever consider it small. Abu al-Mustafa rahmatullah used to say, "Bhai, jo karne wale hote hai, wo poochte nahi. One that wants to do it, he doesn't have to ask questions. Now you see someone distancing and all that. Bhai, don't make a noise, don't fight. Don't fight. Don't make a noise. Don't debate. Show a smiling face. But when the namaz is about to start, just join up. Just join up. You see, the imam just said takbir ula. Allahu Akbar. Like, you don't know what happened. After namaz, someone tells you, why you joined up? You don't know. Say, sorry. Carry on after that. You carry on. One time, second time. You just avoid a confrontation. Why must you get into a confrontation? But don't you value the fact that I was loyal to my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? If my Nabi Sallam had to see this, won't he be happy? For his happiness, you got a few words. Someone slapped you also, right? But he's happy. So, koi tumhara nuksan hua. It's not a loss at all. For his happiness, just to secure his happiness, you go and shout from here, someone is given tamasha that side. No, mind you. But my Nabi Sam is happy. Because he's announced that when you join the serfs, wasalahullah, Allah Pak will join you. When you join the serf, then Allah Pak will join you. Now, to gain that Allah Pak must join you with him, you will then join. Allah Pak says, I'll embrace you for that. I will love you for that. I ask you, isn't that a bargain? And then the opposite is also true. وَمَنْ قَطَعَهُ قَطَعَهُ اللَّهُ You distance yourself, you break away. Allah Pak will break you away as well. He'll break away from you. It's a small bargain, but just join. But as I say, we are all Muslims, don't fight, don't argue, don't debate, don't talk about the merits. You know, I don't know, man. What's the system in this masjid? I don't know, man. We're living there somewhere in Runyan, Springos, all a farm here. We don't know what's happening here. So make ma'af for us. The most you can do is, you people here, you do up to all nonsense here. See, I mean, we feel very backward. Sorry for that. The story is ended there. There and then it's ended. And that's the style of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But Abu Bakr Siddiq, one person came. From the blues he came. And he's shouting him, reprimanding. Amongst people that know him and respect him. But how beautifully he rounded it up. He says, can be one of two situations. I am wrong or you wrong. If I am wrong, Allah Pak must forgive me and guide me. You wrong, Allah Pak must forgive you and guide you. Khalas, end of the story. Is there anything further to it? Nothing added to it. So many people I told, leave this WhatsApp. There's a lot of fights, unnecessary. Some exaggeration here, you're going to have suspicions about everybody. And if you get into the habit of this thing here, Allah Pak forgive, Allah Ta'ala forbid. You may have suspicion about your own wife, your own children. So just cut this off. Because this thing is so easy and so cheap. Just to label someone, just to level an accusation, allegation to anybody and everybody. It becomes so cheap and so easy. You're not going to be careful, it's going to happen to you. So leave this thing out. Do your work, leave these things, these nonsensical things, debates, unnecessary information that is not censored. You're just going to read through that thing. It's going to corrupt your mind, confuse your mind. And unnecessarily you're going to be going to be frightened unnecessarily. Unnecessarily you bring fear, you bring uneasiness to yourself. See how nicely Allah Pak says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا Is not Allah Pak sufficient? As though Allah Pak is complaining to us, but you got a person like me. Am I not enough for you? Why are you running to this person and that person and the third person? On the day of Qiyamah, one person came to Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi. A woman came and she says, if it was permissible, I would have removed the niqab. Nowadays it's a mask, right? She says, what? I will have removed the niqab of my face and show you my beauty, right? Now, a woman that has got beauty like myself, is it right for that person to take a second wife? Now, when she said this, Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, he just fell unconscious. Now, see these people here, like Allah Ta'ala was before them. They could see the presence of Allah Ta'ala. He fell unconscious. After some time, his students and all that, they got him up. Very great muhaddis, very great sainty person. He's like the lead of all the tabi'in. I said, but what brought about this unconsciousness? He says, say for example, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala has to remove the veil. And then ask, you got a Rabb like myself. You got a Khuda, you got a Rabb like myself. Was it the right thing for you to fear others and worship others? What would be my position there? So Allah Pak says, Alayhi Salaam, am I not sufficient? وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَا And now you leave me and you take other gods, right? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَ وَيُخَوْ See this ayat is so pertinent. وَيُخَوْفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِن دُونِي right? They frighten you with other things. What? They forgot Allah Ta'ala and they frighten you with other things. And when Allah Pak says it so clearly, يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرِّنْ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ وَيُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَدَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرِّنْ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. If Allah Ta'ala wants to harm you, nobody can prevent it. And He wants to grace you, nobody can stop it. He wants to grace, He wants to favor you, nobody can stop it. Can't we keep on reciting these verses? The world is trying to frighten you. And you need to be frightened of Allah Ta'ala primarily. See, it's the hand of Allah Ta'ala that makes things happen. So, you know, not a virus can make anything happen, not a Viking can make anything happen. It is the will of Allah Ta'ala that things happen. Can't we conscientize ourselves, remind ourselves? I'll be looking at all these things, WhatsApp and all that, and frightening ourselves. It's happening here, that person died, and whatever else. You know, it's not a thing to be said openly. But so far, thus far, whichever case I've heard of in Durban or in Transa, all cases that I've heard, nearly all of them all faked up. So what they faked them up, I don't know. All the cases of this virus, all faked up. I asked personally, the doctors or the immediate family asked, they wrote him off as this virus, whatever. But was it a real virus case? Why? Why they wrote him off like that? He said, no, because of hospital, this, that, or whatever. If they have to go through the normal channels, then they have to go for an autopsy. That will take about 1 week or something, right? And then will they release the body. And Muslims want it to be done immediately. Now just to circumvent the whole thing, we have to go through this thing. So it's just faked up. Nearly every case that I heard up till now was like that. But now you see the wholesale treachery that's going on. And then that's frightening us even more. So and so died. So the whole idea is to frighten you. So Allah Pak says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَ. Am I not sufficient? You frighten me for that one. Why must you listen to all these things? All this media, this WhatsApp, what? Can't you fear me? Am I not sufficient to make everything happen for you? Am I not there? Then why are you turning to others? So when Allah Pak wants to try, He's trying with these things. What's your commitment? What's your endurance? The whole world is saying. Some people, when I spoke to them about that, they were sincere to them, they cut all, everything, they cut it off. So I asked some of them, or in fact many of them asked, now that you cut it off, what did you find? How did you find your home? He says, well, I found 2 big changes. You know, before it was a battle for me to read half a sipara. Now 6-7 sipara every day, I'm flying. 6-7 sipara, I'm flying with that. I say, it is not worth the while. You left this out, Allah Pak rewarded you with His own book. You took that WhatsApp as the Quran and you abandoned the Quran Sharif. And when you abandoned this, Allah Pak graced you. Allah Pak graced you, He honored you by Him allowing you to recite His own book. Now you're reading 6 siparas, 7 siparas, and you're just going through. They tell me, you know, the quality of love and understanding between us and the household is like never before, like in Jannat. Although we have some areas here and there, all that everybody has, right? But the quality of love and understanding within the house is like at a different level. The way this came from. You just left that and you went with Allah Ta'ala. You did talim in the house, zikr in the house, namaz in the house, Quran Sharif in the house. Right? You're doing all this thing here. When it's namaz time, you're going to masjid. But all the amal in the house. Now Allah Ta'ala will show you, right, I'm also very appreciative. They say that they're appreciative, it's just name. And I'm the real one. I will bring fulfillment. I will bring happiness. I'll bring that appreciation. Your family will appreciate you. You will begin to love them. But that is, you must listen to me. So that's what I say, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We believe in the unseen. We don't have to see the story first and then do. We will do it and then Allah will show it to us. So the first level of trial is within then the community. And then he didn't keep it a secret. He announced it. إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. I'm clear of all these things. All these, you people and whatever else, I have nothing to do with it. Now that second level is gone. Now then the third level comes. See, one to the second to the third. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. Now he has to contend with the state. The state is taking him on. The state is taking him on. And there also, he is not fumbling. He is straight, absolutely straight. See that? When the state took him on also, he is absolutely straight. until when the state got, they got frustrated. They thought the only way is to sentence him to the fire, assign him to the fire, and they gave up there as well. They gave, because they failed in that matter. So the trial within the home, the trial within the community, the trial against the state, everywhere he was straight, absolutely clean, absolutely straight, absolutely firm. And then Allah says, because of this, Allah says, Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama. You're truth to me, you're honest to me, you have got your allegiance, you have got your loyalty, your endurance, I didn't see any type of break in that. Now I will grant you, I will bless you with the leadership for mankind, that you can be the means of people coming to my path, coming to Jannah. Allah Pak Tawfiq.